Good evening, everyone. Welcome.
Be'ezras Hashem, will be having shiur number 66 tonight. Yud Beis Kislev, Tashin Samiches. We are holding in the Siddur, Vayosha Hashem Bayoim Ahu. Right before Oz Yashir, we finished last week the Vayivarach David Tfila. We mentioned that it came from Divya Yomim, Nehemiah, and we explained those tefillas. Tonight, in order to understand the beginning of the Oz Yashir, we're going to have to backtrack into Parshas Bishalach. As we know that this is the Shira Sayom, this is the Shira, the song that Klai Yisrael sang when, on the seventh day of Pesach, when they were, page 78 in the regular article sitter. When they were saved, when Hashem split the Yamsuf, the sea, and the Mitzrim came up on the other side, they were dead. And the Sfarim HaKdoshim bring down that one who says the tefillah of Oz Yashir B'simcha Atzuma, with a tremendous simcha, and he internalizes as if he himself is walking through that Yamsuf. You know what Chazal say? The Sfarim say, Moichel Noi Alon Voinoisav. He is as a clean slate. He's like a Briya Chadasha, like a new creation.
I actually read somewhere, I forget exactly where, it may have been in the Orange Scroll commentary.
Okay.
That when you say this prayer of all the Pesukei Zimra, on this one, you should be smiling. As you read it, it should say it with happiness because of what it means.
I think that Chavetz Chaim, blessed memory, said that a person would be guaranteed a great day or something if he says.
Well, we'll discuss Emes Hashem in the future, but that no pun intended. Oz Yashir is referring to Oz then in the future, right. So that's what you're referring to. The Gemara says that Gemara Pesachim. But here tonight we're discussing Vayosha Hashem Bayoim Ahu, the first part. And to that we're saying as well that when a person internalizes, as the Sefer Charedim says, Yichavim b'shiris hayom, a person has to have kavon to concentrate in the shiris hayom, she'oimim b'chol yoim, that he says every day, lo'oimro b'kol u'b'simcha rabo, to say it with loud and with a tremendous simcha. Like you're saying, have a smile on your face, be happy. Why? Because it's as if he himself is walking through the Yamsuf. As if that hour, that time, that moment, he's left Mitzrayim. And then he explains that one who does this and says it with such a feeling, it's as if Hashem looks at that he will take away his avoinus, take away his sins. The story is said with the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe is known to have very sharp lines, amongst other things as well. A certain chassid came to the Rebbe, and he told him he was saying Shiras Hayom, and he felt this lavus, this fire, this burning, that he was going through the Yamsuf, and he was continuing going further and further. To such a degree, he picked his kapata, the long coat the chassid didn't wear. He picked it up so it shouldn't get wet, and he was going through the Yamsuf. Kotzker said to him, if you really felt you're going through the Yamsuf, you wouldn't pick up your kapata. It wouldn't get wet. And the truth is, we all know it was dry land. But before we get into Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu, let's backtrack to Parshas Bishalach. Vahi Bishalach Paro Yasa'om, the beginning of the Parsha. Paro sends out the nation, V'loinochem Elokim Derech Eretz Pelishtim Ki Karev Hu. And Hashem doesn't want him to go to the land of through the land of Plishtim. Ki omar elokim peni nochem ha'am b'roisim elchama v'shom Mitzrayim. Because it's a nation who were enslaved for generations and generations, and the concern is that they'll be too afraid and they'll turn back to go back to Mitzrayim. It's a very, very difficult passage to understand, that they'll be so scared they want to go back to Mitzrayim. That's not our focus point right now. Vayhi b'shach paro yasa'om. The first question the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks is vayhi is always said, well, depends, vayhi b'mei, the Gemara discusses,
But he, many times has said, when there is a negative situation, a bad thing that takes place, we're leaving Mitzrayim now. Why is Vayhi mentioned over here? Vayhi is a good thing. We're leaving. Why is Vayhi Mishalach Paro's Am? Why is it a negative connotation, a negative word? Next question is, who took us out of Mitzrayim? It was Paro or Hashem? So my Chumash says Paro. Vayhi Mishalach Paro's Am. When Paro sent out the nation. Another question Aruch HaYom HaKadosh asks, why does it say Ha'am, the nation? And a few psukim later, the Kli Yakeh discusses this well, it says B'nai Yisrael. Is it B'nai Yisrael? Is it Am? Why do we call them Am? Why do we call them B'nai Yisrael? Which one is it? Answers Aruch HaYom HaKadosh, that the Vayihi, the negative connotation of Vayihi, is referring to Paro. Because since Paro was Bishalach Es Ha'am, it was he who had, it was his mindset to say, okay, let them go out. So it was going to end up bad. How was it going to end up bad? Because we all know the end of Mitzrayim, when they drowned in the Yamsuf. And that's what we're here tonight. Vayihi Bishalach Paro. It was when Paro sent out. Paro eventually, he was the cause, the ultimate reason why this whole entire nation drowned. Es Ha'am was the Am. The Am, the Zohar Kodesh says, is a reference to the Erev Rav. That's what the Am refers to. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the Erev Rav to come out necessarily. So that's the pasuk we can understand, Vayihi Bishalach Paro Es Ha'am. Now before we get to a little of Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu, and Hashem saved Klai Yisrael on that day, Miyad Mitzrayim, from the hands of Mitzrayim. Before we get to this, we have to understand, what was the situation? Where were Klai Yisrael? Where were they holding? What was their matzav? So, we have to go once again to some psukim before this, Oz Yashir. And we go to Perek Yudalid Pasuk Yud. And it says over there, "Vayiru ma'od v'yitzok b'nei Yisrael Hashem." Klai Yisrael were afraid, and what did they do? They davened to Hashem. "Vayitzok el Hashem." Rashi explains, "Tosu umnus avaytzom." They grabbed onto the umnus, the trade of their forefathers. And Rashi explains that by the avos, by Avram, by Yitzchak and Yaakov, it says a different aspect of tefillah that they davened, and that's what we discussed last week. That Avram Avinu was told he will not have a nation. He was told in the stars. The stars told him he will not have a child. And Hashem took him and changed his name from Avram to Avraham. Put him above the stars and made him into a nation. Why did Hashem make all the Avos and Imois, the mothers and the matriarchs and the patriarchs, why did he make them barren at first? And the Gemara tells us because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was misavel et filos mishal tzaddikim. Hashem made the situation, a situation which is difficult for them, because in the human mindset, that's when we all know the truth, when we come to daven and beg to Hashem, please, only you can really help us. And that's where we find ourselves, the connection from the previous parasha, or the previous part of the Siddur, into the Vayosha Hashem Bayomahu and the Oz Yashir. Tafsu Umnus Avayisam. They grabbed onto the Umnus, the trade of their forefathers. If a father, a person's father is a doctor, it doesn't mean he's going to be a doctor. He has to go to school, maybe he'll choose something else, might be a lawyer. Okay, it's not the worst, not the end of the world. And these things happen. But over here, I'm sorry, just bring it out the point. Okay. Not that type of lawyer. My sister's a lawyer. Okay.
I'll get you back.
Yeah. I saw his smile. Tavs umnus avoysim over here, they grabbed onto the umnus, the trade of their forefathers, which is tefillah. What was the massive, what were the surroundings that led Klai Yisrael to grab onto Umnus Avoysom? And to that we look in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the Pasuk is in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalid. Yoynosi b'chagvei hasela, b'seiser hamadrego, harini es marayich, Hashmiini es koilech, koilech orev umarech nove. We, as we all know, the Shir Shirim is that metaphor, the analogy between a husband, Chos and Kalo, which we know refers to Klal Yisrael, the love that Klal Yisrael and Hashem they have, Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. Hashem was saying that at the sea, is the Klal Yisrael are like a dove who are trapped in a rock, a stone, in the little crevices of the rock. And then Hashem says, "Show me your prayerful gaze. Let me hear your supplicating voice. For your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely." What took place over here? What took place by the Yamsuf? So the Gra tells us in this parish on Shir Shirim, tells us as follows. Yoynasi b'chag v'yasela. Kishibo Eitzel Hayom is the words of the Gra now. When Klal Yisrael came to the Yamsuf, Oz Yisrael hayu doimin liyoyno habirachas min hanetz. So Klal Yisrael were similar, they were compared to a dove who was hiding from the arrow. Sheroidfo ubarcho l'nikike yaselo. So what did the dove do? It flew into this stone, this big boulder, this rock, into the little cracks, and was hiding from the arrow of the hunter. However, ubanachash lekrosa, what was lying in these little cracks? Snake. Vazhi bitsor gedoilo. He comes out of the stone, he has the arrow facing him. He stays inside, he has the snake. Kach hayu Yisrael etzal hayom. So too Klal Yisrael when they were in the yam, by the yam, by the water. Kemash kasev medrash, as the medrash elaborates. The Mitzrim were coming from behind. Picture the scene. In front of them was the powerful waves of the water. If they would turn to the run to the right, what was on the right? Says the Gra. Animals, wild animals on the right. So they had the other side, the left. Upon the small. Snakes and scorpions. The cobras, the venomous snakes on the left with the scorpions. No place to turn. It wasn't by coincidence that at that same moment that they had the Yamsuf in front of them, the Mitzrayim were coming from behind them. On the right, these wild animals are coming on the left. And then the scorpions and snakes were coming from the left, on the right, and then snakes and scorpions on the left. Hashem made this scenario.
And further made it so that when the Jewish people jumped in the water, that it hadn't split yet.
That's right, that's right.
It hadn't split.
That's right.
And it was, you had to have enough bitachin to go in. And it was up to their nostrils before
That's right.
it started to recede.
That's right. You're 100% correct. We'll get to that very, very shortly. He continues and says, the Vilna Goyim, Rav Eliyomi Vilna, he says, 600,000 Malachi Chavola, angels of destruction, are coming down from the top. These are the angels, the angels of Mitzrayim. No place to turn. In front is the Yamsuf, the waves, the treacherous waves. Behind them you have the Mitzrim. On the right, the wild animals. On the left, the snakes and scorpions. And they look up and they see the Malachi Chavola. They're coming down to attack. What's the response? So to this, Tafsu Umnus Avaisam. They grabbed on to the umnus avoysam. They grabbed on to the power, the trade of their forefathers. What was this trade? The trade of tefillah.
Didn't Hashem say to them, this is not the time for tefillah?
Well, no, you're referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe was But over here was a situation where they screamed out. They had no place to turn. And the situation was made like that on purpose. Hashem said, I want to hear your sweet voice. I want to hear that sweet voice. And that's why Hashem enclosed them from every single angle. And that was the situation that befell Klal Yisrael. Right before Nachshon ben Aminadov jumped in, and still, like you said, the waters didn't split until Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, pick up your staff and split the Yam Suf. The water was up to the nostrils. And then the nace took place.
I heard it split in 12 ways.
The ultimate nace.
So each shape all tribes
went through their own place. Correct. And all of this was done at the last moment to bring out, because Hashem brings these situations in our daily lives because He wants to hear our sweet voice. He wants to hear our tefillahs. And if a person could bring himself to a situation to dive into Hashem, to that recognition, when he realizes that Hashem, you give me everything I have. Without a sorrow coming, without tragedies, Hashem won't bring it. But yet, we see by the forefathers, He made them barren to bring out so He could hear their sweet voice as well, because the father wants that connection with his son. The tefillah of Oz Yashar, the tefillah of Vayosha Hashem Vayomahu. It was on that day Hashem saved. The day was the last day of Pesach, Shvish Tov Pesach. Say this from the hands of Mitzrayim. Vayar, you can pass this to look at Pastor Shadon here. Vayar Yisrael as Mitzrayim Meis Asfas Ayom. It was when Klal Yisrael saw the Mitzrayim Meis dead on the Asfas Ayom, on the riverbanks. Because they were concerned. They said, just like we came out on the side, maybe they came out a different side. Maybe they're still alive. So Hashem told the angel of the Yam to spit out the Egyptians. And he saw them dead. Vayar Yisrael esayod hagdoylo asher also Klal Yisrael, they saw the great hand that Hashem inflicted upon the Egyptians. And what happened as a result of that? They saw the powerful hand. Vayar Yisrael asayod hagdoylo asher also Hashem b'Mitzrayim, that Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Vayiru ha'om es Hashem. As a result, they feared Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi. And they grew in Amunah. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu as a servant of Hashem. They had faith in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu, his servant. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh, the Sefer Shiras David explains, he brings down from the Sefer, from the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, he says, Vayar Yisrael asayod hagdoylo, and Klal Yisrael saw the Yad hagdoylo, the strong hand. He says, Aruch Haim HaKadosh, there are two types of fear. There's a fear of awe, and there are different levels in all these fears. And there's a fear of punishment. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, they already had the fear of punishment before this. Here he says now, it's a fear of awe, of greatness. Just to bring it to a little understanding, perhaps when a person sits in front of a great Rosh Hashiva. I just called my Rosh Hashiva last night, and as I'm dialing the buttons, my heart starts pounding a little. Well, that's just the way it is. You know, you call, go to speak to a big Adam Gadol like that. He's a man of flesh and blood, but still he's an Adam Gadol. The fear, the reimus, the awe of the Melech Malchim, Melech Makadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives us these situations that we can have fear of human beings like this to some degree, this respect, this awe, only in order to bring it to a fear of Hashem as well. Not only, but to bring it to a fear of Hashem as well. That higher, elevated awe. So here he says it's a situation of that elevated awe. Here is haroimus, the fear of the reimus, of the greatness, the elevated reim, high level of Hashem. Says the Shiras David, he wants to say that perhaps it's a situation of the fear of Oynish, of punishment, not just the fear of Hashem, of the Roimus, a little different than Aruch Haim HaKadosh. And he wants to suggest that just like you had by Yisro, Yisro, when he, after all, he heard all those nisim miracles that took place. So Rashi says over there, in the Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shiro Yad Hashem, Shebemayim, that he saw the Yad Hashem in the waters. I'm sorry, he says before that, Shama Kiro Yisi, the Shavar Achshav Biyoyser. First there was one level of fear, and now a higher level of fear. Why? Because when he saw the Mida connected Mida, the measure for measure, Bnei Yisrael, they saw that Egyptian that beat them, that whipped them, that tortured them, and they saw the punishment that he got. And they saw that other Egyptian. And that was the Mida connected Mida, measure for measure, all those 10 Makos, and all right here through the Yam Suf.
Rahori,
yes.
Question.
Yes.
Okay. So we sing the Song of the Sea every day in Pesukei Dezimra, even on Shabbos. And
yes, Nantes. Every day.
Now, the Akedah, we say in morning brachas. But you would think, because of the strength of what the Akedah means, that we would also say that it's part of Pesukei Dezimra. In other words, morning brachas, you don't have to say everything. You have to say the morning brachas, but you don't necessarily have to say everything in the Siddur.
The Akedah, you're saying, this is not as obligated as the Pesukei Dezimra.
It seems that way.
Well, that's true.
It seems
that's
that way.
True.
And I'm wondering, certainly not taking anything away from this, but
right.
I mean, but that also seems to be a pretty...
Powerful.
A very powerful
right.
Event that happened, and that to talk about a B'tachin... You know, they say the dread of Yitzchak, you know,
right.
He had the knife on his throat.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, look, I know you can only have certain amount of tefillos in certain sections of davening, but it just seems to me, it's interesting because historically, that happened before this.
Right.
And so we say it in morning brachas before Pesukei Dezimra. But it's almost
seems
to say
it looks like it's not as important
not
as
amplified,
right.
Not quite as amplified.
Okay.
Yet was that the defining moment of the Jewish people in and how it relates to Tefillah, or is this the defining moment in Jewish history with respect to our Tefillahs? Becoming a nation is
right. So I hear your question, and I believe that it's not a situation where one is important or less important. It's a situation where they serve different purposes.
Right.
You know, just to give a marshal, if a person has strep throat, so the doctor will say, take this antibiotic. A person has the flu, so he'll take a different type of medicine, you know, whatever it might be. So here is a situation where we are building up to the ultimate smichas ge'ula l'tfilo. We want to connect the ge'ula, the redemption of Mitzrayim, to the tfilo, to Shemona Esrei. The Akedah is important as it can be. It's a different part. It's placed in a different area. There's much more to talk about it, but that's, I think, a starting point.
Okay.
So by Mitzrayim, by Yitzis Mitzrayim, it was a situation where there was Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. Hashem showed His hand. And the Chofetz Chaim says that it's not until the end of everything, the end of all, the whole entire story, that we're able to see why things took place the way they did. And he gives an example. He says the same thing is true by the Purim story. When Mordechai knew all 70 languages, and he overhears Big Son of Seresh, the two officers of Achashverosh, plot to kill Achashverosh. And my daughter actually asked me last year, why did they want to kill Achashverosh? Which is not for now. But that's also part of the Nes. Every single aspect of the Purim Megillah, every single minute aspect is a chelik of the miracle. All the way through. Every single step. And then Achashverosh woke up middle of the night, and who's coming there? Haman's coming there. Why? Because Haman really wants to kill Mordechai. But then Achashverosh tells Haman, go give everything you said, my crown, my horse, because I have to reward Mordechai who saved my life. It's all part of the Nes. All unfolds. And here too, the Chofetz Chaim says, by the Shiras Hayom, by the Kriyas Yamsuf, this was the ultimate Nes. Everything let it build itself up to what? To Kriyas Yamsuf. And the focus here, what we're now going to get to, is the midah keneged midah, the measure for measure. There's a story that took place not too long ago. A person who learned in Kailo, working on starting a business. He was coming back from Manhattan, from the city, I believe. Lives in Lakewood. And it's late at night, getting later at night, starts to rain, puts the wipers on, everything's going well. Starts to hail a little. He's getting closer to his destination. And suddenly he realizes that the road is very slick, the oil slick. He's losing control of the car, of his van. The rain is coming down, the hail is coming down very strong. He realizes he's trying to do everything he's supposed to do when you start losing control of the car, and he realizes he has no more control. At the same moment when this happens, this minivan is headed straight towards a restaurant. At that moment, a few people are coming out of the restaurant. They divide up, and he sees he's about to hit an old couple. And he blacks out. And when he woke up, he was told that they were not alive. Here's a person who, innocent person driving the car and innocently lost control of the car, had no way to do anything, and these two innocent old people, their lives were lost. To say we can think and that this person, how he felt, is ridiculous. We could only begin to imagine his sleepless nights. He wasn't able to concentrate on his learning. He was trying to start a business. Nothing was working. It affected his family, the way he was with his children. Here he is. He just killed two innocent people. Time is going on and he's just becoming a wreck. He wakes up with nightmares in the middle of the night. He hears that screeching sound. He doesn't know what to do. He was in the hospital a little while, just to go back a little, police report. He said it wasn't his fault, but he still doesn't know what to do. He can't live in himself like this. Time goes on, and he finally says he's going to write a letter to Rav Chaim Kinievsky. He's going to write a letter to Rav Chaim Kinievsky on the G'doylem in Eretz Yisrael and ask him an Eitzah. What should I do? How should I go about tshuva? Okay, fine, I was innocent, I didn't, but still, I took away two people's lives. He writes the letter, he puts it in the envelope, and he mails it, and right away he feels much better. I'd assume, Ein simcha ka'ataras esfekas. There's no greater simcha when a person knows the answer to the question. So right away, by writing that letter and mailing it, he already feels that Rav Chaim Kinievsky will give him the right answer that he needs. He starts feeling a little better. What's going on with his life? It takes time to go there, to travel, to the mail, to get there as well. He gets the envelope for Chaim Kinievsky. He has to respond. He gets the mail back. The envelope comes. He picks it up. He goes to his study. With his hands shaking, he opens the envelope. And he looks at the response. He wants to see what is the type of tshuva that Rav Chaim Kinievsky tells him to do. What does he tell him? Just one word on the whole entire paper.
Malik.
Malik. One word. And he's turning it over. Malik, what does this mean? Is Rav Chaim Kinievsky saying that these people deserve to die, that they were Amalek? Is that what he's saying? He's not 100% sure, but he feels much better. Slowly but surely, day after day, he's able to go on with his life, get things back in track. He feels that maybe Reb Chaim is telling him that these people were Amalek, the enemy of Klal Yisrael, the enemy of the Jews. How these two innocent people could be Amalek, he couldn't figure it out. But that's it seems what Reb Chaim Kineski is telling him. So life starts going back to normal, and comes time, a few months later, they had to buy a new house. They're in this apartment that they have ever since they got married, with the kids, and it's time to move on in life. So, they start looking for a house. One house to another house. Finally, they find a house. They go in there, they speak to the real estate broker. And she says, yeah, the children want to sell the house right away. You'll get a very good deal for it. And he's looking around the house, and he said, "What the real estate broker says that there was a terrible tragedy that took place." As soon as he hears these words, the shiver goes down his spine. And this lady continues and says, "The real estate broker, there was an old couple who went out to an anniversary dinner with some friends, and someone, wasn't his fault, lost control of a car, and they didn't survive." And this man, he's right there. He was the one. This is the house of these people he just killed. He starts sweating a little. He's feeling very uncomfortable. This is their house. The real estate broker shows them up and down all the rooms in the house. Then they go down to the basement. And he remembered that message from Reb Chaim Kineski, Amalek. And he's looking for something, but he doesn't exactly know what he's looking for. And he looks around the basement. Pictures, like any house would have pictures on the wall. And then all of a sudden, one picture catches his eye. It's on the top shelf. Goes closer. Looks at that picture and he sees the old man that he killed in that picture. A much younger man with blonde hair in a uniform, in a Nazi uniform, raising his hand in salute, standing right next to Hitler, Yimach Shemo. Right next to Amalek. And that's what Reb Chaim Kineski was saying when he wrote that one word. Mida kenegen mida. Measure for measure.
I guess a question that I have, which may be a topic for another, completely another shiur, was this rabbi so close to Hashem that he knew, not just instinctively, like, oh, this person was a Amalek, so, in other words, but he knew that it was who it was, that it was Amalek, or that Hashem came to him and gave him that kind of clarity.
You want to know how did he know this?
Yeah.
I can tell you where he lives, you could go ask him. If you want to hear what I can suggest, which it could be totally wrong,
sure,
I could offer a suggestion. And my suggestion is as follows. When this person wrote the letter to Reb Chaim Kineski, once again, I'm just suggesting, I could be totally wrong. So he wrote all the details. We have a concept in Chazal. Chazal tells us, Megagon Schus Adi Zakai Nechoiv Adi Chayiv. Good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people. Those of us who learn Maseches Makis know that that's where this comes from, that when Reb Chaim Kineski, I would like to suggest, perhaps, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky knew this person, he's a person who sits and learns in yeshiva, he's trying to start a business. For him to come to kill two innocent people, these weren't innocent people.
Right. This doesn't make
it doesn't add up.
That's right.
Because we have this rule, the good things come from good people, right, and bad things come from bad people.
So even what appeared at that moment in time for this innocent man that was horrible, you know, because he doesn't understand it, like, why did this happen, in effect, was a good thing.
In effect, it definitely was.
Right. That it was a conduit that was used to
get rid of
the bad. The good was used to get rid of the bad.
That's right.
That's pretty interesting.
That's what I like to suggest.
I asked a Hasidic friend of mine, and he said that for tzaddikim at that level, the light that was put aside at the time of creation is available to them, so they can see from one side of the world to the other.
That's your Hasidic answer.
Very interesting. Yeah.
The obvious problem, though, is that when someone is on your property and a tree drops on his head, there's some guilt that you also have because the tree dropped on your property. So the fact that this man was involved
in killing, but we have to once again realize that there is a mitzvah to kill out Amalek. We have to realize this was not just an old man. This was the man who was responsible and part and parcel for the 6 million Jews that died as well. This was the man that shook the devil's hand and kissed his feet. This is not the man that we say he should live. And Hashem said he lived all those years after the war for whatever reason, and he found his end. And that is what we're saying over here. Vayoyisha Hashem, vayoyimahu, Hashem saved Klaus on that day. What was the day on the last day of Pesach? And it's a situation where Vayar Yisrael Esayot HaGadoylo, Klaus saw the powerful outstretched hand. Asher also Hashem v'Mitzrayim, that God did, He performed to Mitzrayim, on Mitzrayim. When they drowned, when they were tortured, when they deserved the punishment, when the van hit them and killed them. Vayiru ha'om es Hashem. What happened? Because of this, because they saw God's outstretched hand, they came to fear Hashem on a higher level. The purpose of all of this is to come to fear Hashem on a higher level. Vayaminu v'Hashem, and to come to have a greater faith in Hashem. And that is what we're saying over here. The might, the power of Hashem, the midah k'neged midah. Hashem is in charge. The fear of Hashem, this is to bring us to a greater fear of Hashem.
So every day we can experience that.
And every day when we say this tefillah, and we go through this, we say with simcha, with a smile on our face, we say with simcha, moichlinoi avoynoisav, Hashem wipes out our sins. When we say this tefillah properly.